Your home for sports on the radio. We are 95.3 The Score.
I hope you're ready. It's that time.
This is going to be cool.
Climb aboard for the radio ride known as Sports Talk.
A day that will live in sports radio infamy.
Brought to you by Guarantee RV.
We're talking the big deal, the real deal.
On Highway 99 in Junction City. Online at GuaranteeRV.com.
I am not only drinking the Kool-Aid, I'm the manufacturer.
I am losing my mind.
Tannen, it might be semi-circle time.
Hi, I'm Steve, and, well, I brought a list.
And now, a guy with tons and tons of issues.
Yeah, I kind of do have issues.
And broadcasting them, searching for answers.
Yeah, to go, what the hell are we doing?
It's Steve Tannen.
Yo, welcome to radio, sort of. That like never happens, maybe like five times a year. But to try and draw you a picture as we welcome you to the Tuesday edition of Sports Talk here on 95.3 The Score. So, you know, as you could tell, if you ever bridge the gap between 1 hour to another, we probably have, what, 4 minutes or so? So I get into our break. I jot down a few notes, and I'm like, yeah, I could use more water. So I go into the break room, fill up my Brita water bottle, and decide I'm going to strike up a conversation.
Good humble brag about the Brita water bottle as well.
Yo, yeah.
Nice one. Very cool. Look at you.
First of the month, I just my wife has a huge calendar that she lists which dogs she's picking up today, which are coming to visit, and, you know, appointments when the grandkids are coming over. And we've got a little way to note when I need to change the filter on my Brita. And I just did it. This way I could have some of the disgusting tap water and drink water all day long.
Isn't Eugene's tap water and Oregon tap water like some of the best in the country?
I think so. You know what's weird? You know what I think is the best? Like New York City. Because they get it. Double check me on this.
With all the rats and the
people living in it? It comes from like some pristine reservoir upstate that is like protected. So anyway, but being that, aside from alcohol, I'm pretty cautious about what I ingest. So there you go. Filling my water bottle, striking up a conversation with somebody where You can't talk to people around here while you're on the air. It's just a terrible idea. And all of a sudden I hear this voice, Nick.
No.
Steve. Nick yelling Steve. There you go.
It was me with the door open, and I'm hoping you're nearby.
Steve!
And I just, Steve! Just
dinner!
Yeah, exactly. I'm calling you to, not calling you to dinner, but calling you to do your radio show. Because I know one time you're going to get distracted or something's going to happen, and I'm gonna wait for the intro, and the music is going to play longer than it needs to, and everybody's going to kind of be like, oh, what's going on with the show here? And then all of a sudden it's going to be me going, hi, everybody. Welcome to Crunch Time and Sports Talk, surprisingly without Steve Tannen today, as he is lost within the building.
I'll tell you what, it hasn't happened yet. I'm going to leave. One day at the 4 o'clock when it gets to be 5 o'clock.
Don't!
No, I just, a few times.
I already get worried enough when you leave for a remote and I'm here. And you've said before,
I missed
an exit and I went home. I went halfway home and I realized I had to turn around. And you're calling in at like 2:55 and you're like, I hope everything sounds good. It took me an extra 20 minutes because I went halfway home first.
I have made it. Okay, so I'll give you, if you live in town, you'll understand. So we work, in essence, at Valley River, where the building, one of the Darth Vader buildings across the street from the mall. So I go home, go a little right, and I've got to head up West 6th. I once got to the light at Four Corners. And The fortunate thing is I was supposed to be at the Good Times. And if you make the left and to Roosevelt at Four Corners, then you go to the first light and you make the right. I live in that development. So, I mean, I was 2 minutes from home. And I'm listening, and this is in the days when Gottlieb was our lead-in. And they used to do a segment around 2:35, and it had a familiar lead-in, and I'm like, I'm on next. I'm here. And fortunately, I wasn't doing the technical setup. Alex was. So it was like, I'm at the light. I do a U-pop, scoop-op, shamalama, ding-dong. Basically texted Alex, I'm an idiot. I almost drove home. I'll be there in 10. That's the closest I ever came. The day I actually go home, just leave my phone in the den and go sit out on the veranda and crack open a cordial, and people are going to be like, you're going to be like, what's he doing? Where is he now?
It's going to be the end of me, because for some reason it's going to be my fault that you didn't end up where you were supposed to be, even though you were driving you to your event. That might be my fault. I've come
We're
back.
Not there yet.
I've like come back from my lunches, and I'm like, Steve, I noticed a lot of traffic on Delta. I noticed a lot of traffic on Beltline. I'm not sure which way you're going to where you're going to go, but please maybe leave it 10 extra minutes early or something. Allow for some traffic. Let me know that you got there. Just we can't have things go wrong like this. And it's not even like
we've also had
old joke.
The case of we're doing a live show. And it gets to be where I am really comfortable. And it's kind of like a radio unwritten rule that whether you're doing music and you just have to crack the mic a couple times over the course of 3 hours, or with us, you have to actually do a radio show, you should be, our show starts at 3. Wherever we're doing the show, we should be connected, verified we're on a half hour beforehand. So it was early in football season, I am typing away, I'm taking notes, and I'm thinking, this is a really good segment. I had a real nice Pac-12 feel to it. And all of a sudden, I look down, and it's like, I think it might have been like a Friday the 13th. Because it made me, because I looked at the date, and I was like, it's a Friday the 13th. It's almost 20 after 2. I shouldn't be here. Yeah, focus, Danielson, focus. All right, anyway, slightly different from driving home to being in the break room where I'm always 14 seconds away.
Where were you? Like, was it a good conversation? What was it about? I mean,
it's a radio conversation. Okay. How much value could it have really happened? And I got ice. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Text us, 321-0824. Yeah, I've had people say, why don't you take Beltline? Because if there's traffic on Beltline, you just want to rip your esophagus out. Yeah. And no, I make it home fast. And remember, I tell you the truth, it would be different if I was a commuter. But because it's after 6, chances are I'm home in 11 minutes. All right, 284-8571 to the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Fred. Fred, good afternoon. How's it going?
I don't know if you could do this, but years ago, my buddy was a sports guy, and he had somebody that always harassed him. And it was his last day of work, legitimately. So this guy calls up and complains about his, what he says about it. He goes, you know what? Why don't you do the rest of the show? Open the mic and let the guy talk. And the guy just froze like a cheap tent.
A cheap tent freezes.
It was great. So, on your last day.
Oh, no, you don't want to know what's going to happen on my last day. Tell you one thing. I'm going down in the proverbial flames.
Oh, no.
I want to see that.
Yeah, you do.
I got to go.
Oh, yeah, you do. Take it easy.
Oh, man.
I have a list.
Can I take that day off, or like, can I not be associated
with
the show?
Trust me, nobody but me will know. For those of you...
That's going to make it worse. That's going to make it a lot worse for me.
For those of you who have caused us anguish and think I don't know who you are, oh, I know. I've got a secret folder buried underneath the foundation at my home with a special entryway blocks away. I have an underground tunnel where no one has access to it. I know where you work. I know what you've said to my bosses. I know what you've said to people behind my back. I know about your family. I know your finances. When I decide it's my last day, many of you will rue the day you took inappropriate steps against yours truly. Vengeance is mine, saith the New Jersey pain in the ass. These are the reasons I sustain and go on just to get even. Because I am Even Steven. All right, 284-8571.
Tannenism.
The Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. You people think just because you give me a phone number on text and bucks my balls, I can't find you? It's called a reverse directory. I used to work in collections.
Is that a veiled threat?
It's a direct threat. Veiled. What do you think? I'm from the West Coast. I make veiled threats under my breath, or what is the thing? Passive aggressive? It's aggressive aggressive. All right. 284-8571. The Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. I convinced about three people on Facebook that I had created secret folders of all of their postings. And then at a particular time, I was going to take a full-page ad out in their local paper. You know, people I've known for a bunch of years. And I got a DM from what? That's like 6 years ago. And they're like, you... And they were like insulted that I would go to all the... I'm like, you really think that's true, you idiot? You think I really spend that much time sitting around thinking about your dumbass? I mean, come on. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline, if you want to jump on in and join in the threatening behavior.
What a welcoming start hour. Right. You're not here to, I will find you when you've said bad things about me. My last day here, I'm going to light you up in fire.
And by the way, for those who've come at me on Twitter and text and in person and had the courage to actually call me out face to face, and you're fine. That I have no problem with. It's the sniveling cowards that don't have the stones to do it face to face. Those are the ones. That's where the proverbial, those were New Jersey lists start. He said, what? And then, you know, if you ever watch the Mafia movie, you know, they have territory, and they see each other at a funeral, and they like hug each other, and they give you the side-to-side kiss on each cheek, and it's like, Why are you hugging each other? You know you're plotting to have him killed. It's rude. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. If you want to jump on in, hit us up via the text line, 3210824. So I see they announced the Eastern and Western Conference Players of the Month, and people around here are up in arms that it's not Damian Lillard. And I noticed, especially after he wrecked Kobe night on Friday, going down to the Lakers, which, by the way, is the best way you could ever pay tribute to a player like Kobe or Michael or, you know, the game's true assassins. Because you could imagine a different day, a different time. You know, if Kobe Bryant was still playing, they had like Tim Duncan night at San Antonio and it was sold out and it was emotional. And, you know, Kobe going for 56 and beating the Spurs almost single-handedly. I mean, that what Lillard did was the most Kobe thing ever. And then the performance Saturday night, and you started to hear, well, why isn't Lillard being more seriously considered as an MVP candidate? And, you know, his run of productivity has been insane. And here's my advice. don't hold your breath. They're a sub 500 team right now. So he would be in what you would call the also receiving votes. And by the way, here's the answer. Since the first MVP was given out, once. Kareem's first year with the Lakers. That's how far back you have to go. From when the Bucks traded Jabbar to LA, 1976. They went 40-42, and he was the MVP. But he also had, he averaged 28 points a game, 17 rebounds, 5 assists, 4 blocks. He was a force of nature. And by the way, there were no great teams. The Celtics and Warriors were the only teams who won more than 50 games. Phoenix ended up winning the West. They went 42-40, and they were a 4 seed. Something I don't think I've ever seen since. The NBA had 4 divisions. One division, the Midwest, all had losing records. So it took that type of landscape where a player on a losing team could win the MVP. There were no LeBrons or Giannis or Harden. And I'll tell you what, as of today, the guy who analyzes the most valuable player race for NBA.com, he doesn't even have Lillard among the top 5 yet, which would be LeBron, Greek Freak, Harden, Doncic, and Kawhi.
Yeah, I looked at Basketball Reference has an MVP tracker as well, and Lillard is only showing up 10th. And like his only saving grace is that, one, the hot streak continues, and maybe the Blazers get into like the 7th seed, which is, you know, really kind of strange. They'd be like, yeah, the guy who led the team to the 7th seed is the best player in basketball. But also, like, Doncic has been hurt, or is hurt, and is going to miss some games, so that's going to hurt his case. Harden's gone cold for a while, so really, it's like a matter of Giannis and LeBron, of two teams at the top of their divisions battling it at what they're within like a game or two of each other for the best record in the NBA right now. Like, it's going to be one of those two. And it's going to come down to a lot of people feeling like LeBron carrying the weight of the passing of Kobe Bryant and Laker fandom on his back, and then still leading the Lakers to whatever record they finish with, is going to be better than Giannis Antetokounmpo being an alien and, you know, probably winning back-to-back MVPs.
Well, the one thing is, we have fallen into an MVP trap, and I'm as guilty as anybody, because you only look to contenders. And does the fact that the Blazers, without Damian Lillard, aren't even in the playoff picture, and, you know, or even more the lottery picture, should that be taken into account, as opposed to if you take LeBron off the Lakers, they're a 500 team and not a championship contender? And I'm asking that. I'm not even giving an opinion there. I always look to the contenders, which is one of the reasons, if the Angels had been a regular in the playoffs, I think we'd have seen Trout win so many, at least 2 or 3 more MVPs, you know, when Betts won it, and, you know, on down the line. And one of the problems with Lillard is he's a bad defender. The team is a terrible defensive team, and all of that is thrown into the mix. I mean, yeah, for those of you saying, Harden is terrible defensively as well, but he's also scoring 39 a game. You know, the only teams that are giving up more points than the Blazers are Washington, who are 15-32, Atlanta, second worst team in the league, my Pellies, who are 10 under .500, Minnesota, the fourth worst record in the NBA, Memphis, who are at least playing 500 ball, and the Cavs, who are 13-18. Then you have the Blazers. Look, what Lillard is doing is incredible. He's the man. I don't see anybody on the landscape of the sports we follow who I'd like to see get a title shot more. I love the guy. He's not an MVP candidate as we speak. Yeah, you see what happens. There's 6 games before the All-Star break. Starts tonight at Denver. Then they're home for the Spurs. Off to Utah. Always a really tough game. Back to Moda for this Heat team that is one of the most pleasant surprises in the association this year. Then they finish on the road at Nollins and at Memphis. They're 23-27. Let's see where they are, you know, a week from... By the way, a week from tomorrow, are the last games before the All-Star break. So there you go. That's the deal. We talked about it briefly, this new NBA All-Star game format. Somebody asked me about that as far as with Lillard being a reserve and not a starter. And it's like, I think fans get too worked up over these kinds of awards because, A, for the most part, you see it through the lens which is colored with your favorite team's uniform. And, I mean, so he would have won the player of the month. So their record is now 27? 23 and 27? And, yeah, the last five games of the month were off the chart. I didn't look at what he did the first 11 or 12 games of the month. Because, again, there's a tendency to notice an individual performance of magnitude that night and talk about it the next day. Because then you fall into the, well, what are the big games and how many big games is the team who needed this streak to get within four of 500? So, you know, I'm not saying you take it with a grain of salt. You always want your guys to do well. And Lillard would probably be the first one to say, hey, they could have all their individual honors. I'd like to see this team get together, start to gel, heal up, get Collins and Nurkic back, and, you know, make another run in April into May. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Real quick, want to remind you about the three pubs, as it were. The original Tap and Growler, 5th and Pearl, downtown Eugene. The tap list is 81 strong. And they do a really awesome job of, depending on what kind of beers they have on tap, wine they have on tap, mixing and matching it, pairing it with some really tasty, unique food options. And then as you head west and hit the Wit on the right, you got Beer Garden. Online, it's beergardenme.com for good eats. They've got their food truck, great selection of bottled beer and wine and craft beer inside and non-alcoholic options as, you know, kids are welcome. Great outside hang, enclosed and nice and warm in there for this time of year. Then as you hit A Street in Springfield, it's a public house, which is one of the most distinctive looking spaces. And like I said, they also have kid friendly. You can actually bring your dogs and hang out there. Since they opened up, expanded food options as well. And anytime there's live music, there's never any covers, always all ages. And online, publichousehub.com. All three places really appreciate their longtime support of live local radio. What do you say we take a break? And when we come back, we'll have an update and then talk some Duck basketball with Michelle Vopel, who was in stores last night covering the game for ESPN. Coming at you next, 95.3 The Score.
Sports Talk, sponsored in part by Guarantee RV Supercenters, the first and only RV dealership to offer service 7 days a week. Big city selection and country savings. Visit them online at guarantee.com.
Here's a lob to Hebert. Reverse up and in, and a foul on Griffin. Great catch on the pass over the top of the defense by Ionescu, and Hebert to catch and reversed it up. Tries to hedge out, and Moore goes all the way around her to the rim and scores it. And a foul, Mignon Moore. Put on the Jets and went to the rim.
Yeah, those are back-to-back old school and ones. That's when I looked up at the clock. You know, we were doing the show. We get a little distracted with the Oregon playing an historic game at UConn. And I'm like, that's it. Good night. Turn out the lights. The party's over. And that's where we landed. All right. We've got Kelly Graves set to join us. That'll be just past 5 o'clock. as they are now back in town preparing for a big home series against the Arizona schools. Of course, you know, the lone blemish in conference was Arizona State down in the desert. They play Arizona at 6 o'clock on Friday. We'll be doing another series of pregame shows, so I'll be doing the show Friday from Trev's on Franklin across the street from Matthew Knight Arena. I mean, Oregon at 9-1, 20-2 overall, and Stanford is tied with them. So, obviously, with Oregon having smoked the Cardinal in their lone meeting here that Thursday night, I guess a couple Thursdays ago, with ESPN in town. Like I said, a rare Thursday, just at the time, a huge magnitude game with a couple of top five teams. Oregon, via that tiebreaker, is technically on the lead now. UCLA, I'll tell you what, February 24th, Oregon at Stanford. That's going to be another big one. No doubt about that. Now, from the Something's Gotta Give final on Friday as well, Stanford is hosting UCLA. So you got the Cardinal at 9-1, the Bruins at 8-2 have really got to have that game if they're thinking about winning the conference regular season title and being the number one seed entering the Pac-12 tournament. But with all that said, we've got much to get to. What do you say right now we lock up the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline and get to our very special guest? Time to talk about the big national game last night in stores, which saw Oregon post their most substantial road win in program history. We're fortunate to have one of the best in the business as wired into the women's game and WNBA as any, providing coverage for ESPN, ESPNW on Twitter. Use the handle at Michelle V and spell it like McCartney sang it, Michelle. Michelle Vopel joins us. Michelle, how's life treating you these days?
Oh, very well. Thank you.
You were here for the Team USA game back in November. Then last month, there was a national ESPN game against Stanford. Then last night, of course, at the epicenter of the game, Gamble Pavilion. Again, with the eyes of the basketball world on this Oregon team, safe to say that they've kind of embraced that UConn mentality, where if the spotlight shines, they're kind of at their best.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think what we saw last night was an Oregon team that they would say didn't play as well as they can play, which is sort of scary to think. They came in and handed UConn its worst loss in Gamble Pavilion. And afterwards, Sabrina Nesky was talking about, yeah, there's some things we still need to clean up. So they're so mature. I think that's one thing that really stands out is having gone through the experience of making a Final Four last year, they really learned a lot about how you get through a season. You might have some hiccups here and there, but you always have to kind of have your eye on the prize at the end. And they really understand that now. I think you're seeing a really mature team along with a super talented team.
Michelle, living here, I always talk about the Eugene bubble. Our local coverage obviously is Duck-centric. You've covered the game for a while. You've seen Taurasi, the UConn greats, Catchings, Dawn Staley, and of course now Sabrina, who is so beloved here. So through your national lens, what is it about UNESCO, either on, off the court, warrants her name being mentioned with those all-time greats?
I think she has such great basketball sense. You talk to people about what makes her great, and it isn't necessarily, oh, she's got the blazing speed that gets past people, or she has a vertical that's, you know, out of the roof. But she does everything on the basketball court with such understanding and savvy. Gina Oriana said something last night about how Sabrina allows you to make the mistake that she can beat you with. Like, That's the kind of savvy basketball player she is. She moves at a speed that's perfect, I think, for her teammates. She allows the defense to screw up. I think that's somebody who really understands the game. And I think she's got an it factor. There's just no, that's not just in Eugene. That's, you go across the country and people are excited to see her. They feel like, you know, this is somebody that they want to watch play basketball. And that's a really cool thing for the women's game. People are already looking forward to, I know Oregon's people are not looking forward to her graduating, for sure, but they are looking forward to what sort of pro player she's going to be, and especially if she's in a market like New York City, which, if with a top pick, she very well may be. I think people are seeing this as, we're not just seeing Sabrina, a great college player, but we're going to watch how she transitions to the next level.
Oh, yeah. I'm a diehard, lifelong New York fan, so I'm going to have my jersey on back order sometime.
Perfect.
We're talking with Michelle Vopel of ESPN. So last night, leading up, the consensus was, guys I had talked to, people that I had talked to, you know, Oregon's experience, they're talented, they've healed, they have depth, and they had a legit chance to win the game. But in your pregame work or analysis, anybody you spoke with or yourself, did you in any way see them winning this game wire to wire in such convincing fashion?
I thought they could win wire to wire. I didn't know that they would win by 18 points. So I do think that was a bit of a surprise. But the way they started the game gave you an idea that that's what was going to happen. They were able to go in there and sort of take in the grandeur of Ample, because it is sort of a, as you know, as Kelly Graves said, sort of hallowed ground with 11 championship banners. They were able to take that in and appreciate it, but it didn't intimidate them at all. And what we see a lot of times is teams go into Gamble and they're beat before they get on the court. And that didn't happen at all with Oregon. So I was just impressed with the way they played that first quarter. I mean, they came out and just, like, basically told everybody, you know what, we are the better team here, and we're going to show that, and they did it.
I guess this next is a kind of a perception question. When Rob Mullins, the AD here, hired Kelly Graves right around 6 years ago, it really didn't ignite the locals. We knew the work he had done at Gonzaga and Elite Eight with Courtney Vandersloot, and we've gotten to know him as a regular guest, and it became obvious he was unique. So what could you tell us about, I guess, his national reputation, especially now building this success story at Oregon?
I would say, and I don't want this to sound like, oh, yeah, we all knew this, but I'm serious when I say Graham Hayes and I, when he took that job, I said, okay, you ready, Pac-12? Because this is exactly what the Pac-12 needs, is for Oregon to be good. And this is no disparagement to, you know, any previous coach or administration in any way, but Oregon should have been really good in women's basketball. We felt that for years. And somebody that is such a good coach, which we saw with Kelly Graves and Gonzaga. I thought when he's in a Power Five conference, he's going to kill it, and he has, both from a recruiting standpoint, from a fan engagement standpoint, and just the product. They're a fun team to watch, and to me that matters too.
A few final questions for ESPN's Michelle Vopel. You can follow on Twitter. Use the handle at Michelle with an E, V. I thought you tweeted something last night that was spot on. In the post game, Coach Graves talked about this UConn team, maybe a work in progress, and almost trying to downplay what we just witnessed. And while that was classy, as you said, Michelle, there's no way around what a really, really big deal this was.
Yeah, I totally believe that. This isn't a UConn team that's as good as a lot of their past teams. I think everybody would acknowledge that. But this is still a UConn team that has some outstanding players on it and has a full house, is very used to playing super high-profile games. And I do think you have to add in the fact that Oregon is just coming off their mountain road trip, you know, playing in Utah, playing in Colorado, then coming across the country. They're three time zones away, and they just look so comfortable. To me, that was so impressive. And I think what Kelly Graves was doing was so admirable is he was really paying homage to Connecticut about everything they've meant to women's basketball. He wasn't going to come in and say, oh, because we've won once, we're at the top. he wanted that message also to go to his team, like, this is great, but it's also the early February. So let's understand this is a heck of a Pac-12, right? Like, we've got so many more games that we have to play well in. let's celebrate this and feel good about it, but not overstate it. That said, it was okay for me to, you know, outside to say, hey, this is a big, big victory.
You know, I thought from the opening, Ruthie Hebert was engaged. We always talk about she plays rim to rim, but it's so much more the way she pops out on defense. Of course, the pick and roll with she and Sabrina. And just, I guess you would call it the relentless warrior mentality. She was just unyielding all night long. When you think of the bigs around the country, Aaliyah Boston, South Carolina, Nelson Udoda at UConn, in evaluating her game, I mean, where does she belong on that frontline hierarchy?
She's so dependable, and it's interesting. Coach Oriam said last night, you know, people will quote unquote criticize her and say, "Oh, well, you know, she shoots, you know, fairly close to the rim. She's got, you know, this thing. You know, she basically has a certain way that she always scores." But guess what? She always scores.
Yeah.
So I think we've seen other players that, you know, get the ball where Ruthie gets it. They don't, you know, they're not coming away with 10 of 14 the way, you know, or 10 of 12 or whatever. You know, we've seen so many crazy streaks with her, you know, where she just can't miss a shot. That's hard to do. I don't care how close you are. You're facing really physical defense. You're playing at game speed, and she's still able to do that. But what I thought stood out last night also was how good their post defense was with Ruthie and Satouz Dabele. I mean, they, in my mind, they out-UConn with how good they were in the paint. And to outscore a team like UConn in the paint by 30 points, you're talking about a pretty fantastic post, too.
Yeah, it almost sounds made up in the past.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly. In, like a parallel universe.
Right. You know, and finally, in the past week or so, Oregon has also gotten healthy. Lydia Giomi's back, some of the depth players. You know, you add in the four Satu's become. Erin Boley regained her touch. So let's play to the locals. Is there an aspect of this team that might concern you, or would you say to the fans, look, dream big. This team is legit as any of them to win a national title.
Probably the only thing, and you hesitate to even say it because it can happen to anybody, is the potential of injury. Obviously, last year, you know, they lost Ruthie for a little while with an injury. That you always have some concern with. But when you see what we saw last night with the depth, and it was quality depth, seeing how well these players understand each other, how they know each other so well, there are just not very many teams that can disrupt that. People may have been alarmed by the loss to Arizona State. Part of the reason I wasn't is because Arizona State is one of those teams. You want to talk about a team that can muck up an offense, that they can do it, and they're a conference team. There's just not that many teams that can really, if you look at personnel, that can really match up well with Oregon. Satu is a nightmare, I think, for most to even try to consider. And it's really interesting you mentioned Erin Boley, because I do think she had a huge impact on the game. When she's hitting those shots from the outside, your defense is going, now what are we supposed to do? Like, how are we supposed to guard these guys? And so I think her hitting those shots early really disrupted the defense as good as UConn can be. It's going to disrupt most defenses.
Folks, she's Michelle Vopel of ESPN, one of the top sports journalists around. Does an awesome job, keeps us wired into the women's game. Again, the Twitter handle, at Michelle V. Hey, thanks so much for your time. I really appreciate your insight. You travel safe as you go around to cover all this great stuff. And when you find your way to Eugene, I hope we can meet face-to-face. Thanks a lot, Michelle.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
All right, take care. Such great analysis and wit and knowledge. Michelle Vopel of ESPN. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more Sports Talk 95.3 The Score.
We're riding the waves of technology just for you. You can call the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline at 284-8571. Text 321-0824. Tweet Steve at Sports Talk 95.3.
Oh, Dangerfield threw it towards the middle, and it was taken away by Taylor Chavez. Sabali to beat the buzzer. Drills the three. Oregon takes its largest lead of the first quarter into the second and 10.
When you have a 6'4 wing player who can not only score inside, but do this, watch out!
Rebecca Lobo and Adam Amon on ESPN2 taking us to the break after Satu Sabali went splash. You know, since we were doing the show while the game was on, I missed the first basket. I thought the first basket of the game. I've been going these past almost 24 hours thinking Oregon scored first and led the entire way. What happened was, I guess UConn scored to go up 2-0. Boley hit a three, and that was it. They led the rest of the way. Serves me right for doing my job. Good God, get your priorities straight, dude. Dude, Rodomy. All right, thanks to Michelle Vogel.
Tannenism.
Who's just fantabulous. Lot of good insight. I mean, she is wired into this game like few others. I mean, she works for ESPN, and she was actually still back there. I think she was calling me from the ESPN campus after a series of meetings, basically determining where she'll go next. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. We'll continue to discuss this even more with Coach Graves, who should join us in about 20 minutes. As for the Oregon men, they get to work on Saturday. Remember, they have the rivalry game, so they'll be up at Reza. I just said the Duck men are going to play at Reza.
Yeah.
Is that like when they forget it?
I mean, Oregon.
They're playing at Gill.
Oregon will be playing at Reza, but like in November?
Yeah, probably not anytime soon.
You're just 9 months early.
So that's a 7:30 game in Corvallis on Saturday. Next week. They do. Oh, wow. That's interesting. They have a 6 o'clock Sunday game a week from Sunday, the 16th, against Utah here on Fox Sports 1. Hey, the Thursday game against the two of the leaders in the conference, that next week will be an ESPN game. And then the Arizona, Oregon is going to pop up on ESPN a lot in recent weeks. The trip to the desert is ESPN or the Deuce, both games. So I'm getting a little ahead of myself. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Josh. Josh, good afternoon. How's it going?
Good. How you doing, Steve?
All right, what's up?
Hey, well, you know, between Damian Lillard, Sabrina Ionescu, and Peyton Pritchard, and this is coming from a Beaver fan, we have the three best point guards in the nation right now in the state of Oregon. I think that's a pretty cool thing, first of all.
Wow, it's a pretty bold call.
Yeah, I mean, as far as statistically wise, that's what's going on right now. With that being said, though, Damian Lillard won Western Conference Player of the Year the last 2 weeks of Western Conference Player of the Week, the last 2 weeks of January. But then they announced Western Conference Player of the Month. And as far as I'm concerned, he got robbed, just the NBA giving it to LeBron. I know LeBron's leading the league in assists, but come on, man. Nobody's been more valuable to their team this month, the month of January, than Damian Lillard. I mean, come on. That's just LeBron's got enough accolades. Come on.
Yeah, you know, the truth is, I was not really aware of what LeBron did all month. Obviously, nobody finished the month, the last five games, because the Utah game was this month, like Lillard did. I mean, that was just silly down the stretch.
Yeah, I just feel like, I don't know, man. This, even prior, if you look before this streak that's happened, the last seven-game streak, he still put up numbers that are worthy, and their winning percentage in the month of January is what's kept them in the conversation. So I don't know. I just feel like if you're going to win the player of the week two times out of the 4 weeks of the month, like, you know, I just feel like that was a rob. I know that the player of the month doesn't really mean much, but I still think that it's a slight. But at the same time, Dame thrives off that stuff. So, you know, maybe this whole propel him into February. Who knows?
Yeah, well, big game tonight on the road, tough place, altitude. and should be a fun one. See if he could stay in that dimension.
Let's hope so. We'll talk tomorrow if he does.
All right. Thanks a lot, Josh. All right. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. The announcement that D'Antonio. What am I thinking of? The basketball, Mark D'Antonio.
Yeah, I got them confused as well.
I don't think it's that hard to do. A lot of people think that there may be some punitive measures or sanctions coming Michigan State's way. 63 years old, been there for 13 years, won 3 Big Ten titles, won a Rose Bowl, got into the college football playoff, got spanked by Bama back in 2015, 38-0. He is the most successful by games won coach in program history. He got what's called a retention bonus in the middle of January. And the announcement comes a day after his recruiting director filed claims that he committed NCAA recruiting violations as part of an ongoing lawsuit, took him on recruiting trips, which is a violation. So, is he trying to get out of Dodge ahead of the posse? One never knows, with the whole Nassar disgust-a-thon that took place on that campus. Who knows who knew what and when. But anyway, we're about to hit the top of the hour break. And like last time, I won't disappear on Nick and have him screaming my name down the hallway. We'll return with the 5 o'clock hour and Coach Kelly Graves next, 95.3 The Score.
Have you ever been to a volcano?